Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
I'm Chava Perivan, co-host of Agave Road Trip on HRN, here to talk about 818 Tequila. 818 creates their tequila using traditional methods that a family-owned and operated distillery in Jalisco, Mexico. From the blue agave they grow to their recycled glass bottle, 818 emphasizes the Earth's importance in all they do. Their distillery runs on biomass and solar power, which means they don't rely as much on fossil fuels and are able to reduce their carbon footprint. Their labels, corks, and boxes are all certified by the Forest Stewardship Council as coming from sustainability-managed forests. 818 is a proud member of 1% for the Planet, through which they support HRN as well as Sacred, my organization in Jalisco, where together we transform agave byproducts and water waste into adobe bricks that are donated to local infrastructure projects, like a local library in Zapotitlán de Vadillo. Visit drink818.com to learn more about their sustainability efforts and find 818 near you. 818 has been part of so many magical nights for me, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. 818 Tequila, imported by 818 Spirits, Manhasset, New York. 40% alcohol by volume. Drink responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 35 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on an eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail served on the beautiful patio, which has ample room for social distancing. Travelers from around the world find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Welcome to HRN Tour. I'm here at the Food & Wine Classic in Aspen, year 2022. I am here with Jackie Summers. He is the founder of Sorrel, which is a delicious liqueur. I can only have him describe it and explain everything that's going on with it. So how are you doing today, Jackie?
I'm glad to be hanging out with you.
I'm very glad to meet you. And this was so fortuitous to run into each other. And I'm a fan of your liqueur. I've had it actually in cocktails before, and I've had it straight. And I just think it's phenomenal. And I would love to kind of go down the backstory of how it all got started. First of all, your background, and then how you got into this.
Thank you so much. So I was making a version of this in my kitchen for friends and family for almost 20 years. The idea for this beverage has been served in the Caribbean for centuries. Every good Caribbean family makes a version of it. Every family thinks theirs is the best version. It's based around the hibiscus plant, which was known for its medicinal properties. Hibiscus is full of antioxidants, it's full of antimicrobials, it's a natural anti-inflammatory, it's an aphrodisiac. And the West Africans drank this as part of their ceremony. The tradition moved to the Caribbean. Every Caribbean island makes a version of it. And I was doing this in my kitchen and happy to serve it for friends and family. And then 12 years ago, I had a cancer scare.
I heard the story, yes. They found a tumor in your spine, correct?
My doctor found a tumor inside my spine the size of a golf ball.
Yes.
And he said, you're probably going to die. And if you live, you might be paralyzed. You should organize your paperwork.
That got very real very fast.
I lived.
Yes, you did.
Which, you know, it's a good thing because this interview would be really awkward if I hadn't lived.
But it really made you take stock in a lot. What you wanted to do with your life. And,
it was a gift.
Yeah.
I had 25 years invested into corporate America, but it gave me the chance to reevaluate my priorities because what I really want to do is day drink. I just want to meet cool people every day in my life, have great food and great conversation and great alcohol, and I wanted to monetize it.
Yes.
And when I couldn't think who was going to pay me to enjoy this lifestyle, I said to myself, I know what I'll do. I'll launch a liquor brand. And here we are.
Here you are. And this is your first time into the Aspen Classic, correct?
It's my first time to the Aspen Classic.
Yeah.
I was invited by Food & Wine as one of the inaugural 2022 food innovators.
Yes. And you also just got off the heels of the James Beard Foundation. I unfortunately did not attend that. I have a major case of FOMO from not being there, but I heard that you indeed were nominated as well for Outstanding Essay for your essay in Epicurious.
I wrote an essay called All the Food You Can Eat and Only the Family You Can Stand about a long-standing family food tradition that we used to have with my mom and dad.
Well, so tell me the story. Well, first of all, let's open this up.
Let's open up the bottle.
Yeah, I think we need to get this going.
We are talking a lot and not drinking nearly enough.
I mean, you just said, you know, your dream is the day drink and meet people. So let's start this, right?
So here's what's in the glass. There's Moroccan hibiscus, Nigerian ginger, Indonesian cinnamon and nutmeg, Brazilian clove, and a neutral wheat grain alcohol. Certified organic, certified kosher, Lachaim, 15% alcohol. Again, this idea has been around for centuries.
And it's a beautiful
ruby.
Yeah, garnet, ruby, and the smell is just intoxicating. It's just exotic.
Here's the fun thing.
Yes.
There's a lot of clove on the nose, but when you taste it, the acidity of the hibiscus is going to fill your mid-palate, and you're going to get juicy, fruity, floral notes. There's a little burn on the sides. That's a cinnamon note. And the finish is dry. That's the nutmeg in the back. And you pretty much don't taste alcohol at all. The ginger masks it perfectly.
You really don't. It's so sippable and smooth. What kind of, other than drinking it straight, what other kind of cocktails do people make with this usually?
Well, the beautiful thing about Sorrel is it literally mixes with everything. It does one thing really well, and that's hide ethanol. So it mixes with gin, vodka, rum, mezcal, tequila, scotch, bourbon, rye, sake. But if you put it with gin, you'll get more floral notes.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it with anything that's been aged, you'll get more barrel notes, whiskey or rum. If you put it with agave cocktails, you'll get more fruit notes. If you put it with sake, you get more rice notes. If you put it with bubbles, it opens up the entire flavor.
Yeah, definitely. It's with bubbles. That would be amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. You just gave me a great idea. Yeah, you just gave me a great idea. So there is a backstory there. I know that you did take stock in what you wanted to do the rest of your life when you were given this second chance, and you were kind of experimenting like a wizard, trying to get the batch correct, and you were kind of at that point that you felt like maybe you were going to give up, not really sure, but you took a meeting, and that one of those meetings became one of your first investors.
Yes, this is a fantastic story. The hardest part about launching a liquor brand is getting the money.
Imagine that.
If you're not starting with $1 million, you're probably not that serious. I did not have $1 million, but I am very, very determined. So about 6 months into this project, I got a call from a friend of mine who's a vice president at Hearst Magazines. He said, don't tell anyone we're buying another media company. There's going to be layoffs. There's going to be overlap, but I want my people running my magazines. Come back, he says. Come back and work for me. Six figures, corner office, 32nd floor overlooking Central Park.
Which I'm sure was very alluring. I mean, you know, on the surface, absolutely. You know,
it kind of still is.
Well, can't you do both?
But I knew in my heart I was going to tell him no.
Yeah.
I took the meeting because he was a friend.
Yeah.
And we were having burgers on a little place in the Upper West Side. And I reached into my bag and pulled out a bottle that I'd made in my kitchen. Because I did not have my physical space yet. I didn't have my label yet. I didn't have my license yet. And I began telling him what I'd planned to do. And while I was describing this to him, the gentleman at the table next to us stood up and said, "So, are you looking for investors?" So, I stood up. I shook this hand. I gave him my business card. I reached into my bag and handed him a second bottle because I knew to be prepared. And I said, "Take this home, enjoy it with your family. If you're still interested in investing, we'll talk later in the week." I swear I didn't even look at his business card. The next morning, I'm looking at this card and trying to figure out why the name Alexander Bernstein is so familiar. It's because it's Leonard Bernstein's son.
Wow.
Who runs the Bernstein Foundation and became the first person to sign papers for us.
That is amazing. That's such a great story. So if you had to do anything, I mean, I keep going back to this moment you had in the doctor's office because I'm sure it doesn't leave you anytime soon. Was there anything beyond going and creating this liquor brand, that second chance on life that kind of became very clear to you, that's like a motto you live by now, or I don't know, just the clarity that comes with something like that, I can only imagine.
So I lost my dad 20 years ago. And when my dad died, I said, the only thing hard left in life for me would be burying my mom. I buried my mom this January.
Sorry.
Nothing left is hard in life for me. I get to meet cool-ass people like you.
Well, thank you.
At amazing events like this.
Yeah.
I get to have great conversations and great food over great drinks. And I work probably 110 hours a week, and I don't complain because it's exactly what the hell I asked for.
Well, the first time I saw you when I walked up to Sorrel, the activation here, was a giant smile. And that's what drew me in. I was like, okay. And I said, oh, I've had his product before, and I really like it. I want to get to know this man.
Thank you. It took me a long time to figure out that a smile is a much bigger flex than a scowl.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your time and for your patience.
I know how busy you are. Another sip of this delicious brew. Oh, my gosh, it's so good. You guys have got to go and try to find this. Where can they find it, by the way?
Online, reservebar.com. We're in about half the country at the moment. We'll be in the other half by the end of next year.
And you have a website, correct?
SorrelOfficial.com. SorrelOfficial.com.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to HRN's coverage of the 2022 Food & Wine Classic in Aspen. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, HRN on Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates, to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.